compliance with the open meeting law?
Yes, the agenda was sent to the county clerk and the radio and newspaper.
Approval of the agenda?
Move to approve the agenda as printed.
Second? Dale seconds. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Approval of the minutes, March 20th, 2019. Does everybody have an opportunity to review those? If so, have a motion.
I'll motion.
Pam, make motion.
I'll second.
Joanne, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Number five, public comment, communication.
Well, if you haven't heard, we're having a building open house on Saturday.
Whether you're ready.
Whether we're ready or not.
Yeah, I noticed there's still a lot of trucks out there.
There are a lot of trucks out there. There's a lot of activity there. There was even activity there late last night. So.
Will they still be working on it? Yes.
There's still stuff to do in the jail, and our section is fairly well done, except for some little minor ticket things that they may have to touch up some things and that. But no, for the most part, ours is done. So we've been over there yesterday and got kind of some stuff in the offices for the open house, and so we'll be ready. So the open house is from noon until 4-ish, depending how many people we have. So if you are available, you know, to come over, that will be your opportunity to see the jail and everything else. I don't know, probably at some point we could still do some jail tours later on if they're not, because the jail won't be occupied for a while.
Until at least August, maybe
September. We did advertise, you know, we'll take anybody that stops into our offices at any time for a little bit of tour of our office, so if they miss the open house, but obviously they're probably not going to authorize me to do jail tours in the future. We'll probably have to coordinate that with somebody if we have somebody. Plus I get lost back there anyway, and it's not very warm and friendly, so it's a little scary back there. We have the open house Saturday. We are planning to move on Monday, so it will be a very busy weekend. We are starting at 8:00 Monday morning, so we will have people here and some people over there, and we'll keep having clients or consumers come here probably most of the day on Monday before we make the switch over. But at some point the phones will be switched, so at some point they will start ringing over there, so we hope. If all goes well, we hope that will happen. I have a lot of faith in our IT department, so we are hopeful that will be just fine. We've had some phone training the other day because we have new phones. I think we'll be okay with those. So anything you want to add?
The social services move in at the same time, or
no,
later?
No, IT is moving us first, and they kind of wanted to move a smaller office first, and then just kind of work out any kinks that might be over there, because you know that they've got so many offices over there. So, and I think the plan is possibly social services might go in two different stages too. I don't know what the plan is for that.
Just split them up and. Wait at least, well, Shane wants to wait 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Before we start with them. Just to make sure the computers are up and running, the phone system works.
Yeah, Shane is very particular and he wants everything working accordingly, so we're hoping, you know, and I really don't anticipate that we're going to have any issues. The technology in that building is really amazing, so he's made sure that... He's crossed every T and dotted every I, so he's done a really good job. So I don't anticipate a whole lot. But, you know, anytime you have new buildings and new issues, you just always, you know.
It's going to be.
Yeah. So they will be, the nice thing for us is they will be on site over there too. So if we have anything, they're readily available to us. So I don't anticipate a whole lot. So, yeah, the plan is to get us over there, have us there for a week or two, and then... And
work
then have
out
social
all the
services. What's that?
Work out all the kinks if there are any.
Yeah. So I think we've still got a lot of packing to do. But we've got most of our storage rooms are cleaned off.
Yeah.
Are cleaned out. So we're getting there. We're moving some more today. We've actually started moving some stuff. Brad has been nice enough to let us move some things over there. And we're going to move a few more things today just to have for the open house.
Right.
But and we've worked on, got some marketing posters in all the offices now. So you're not just looking at a blank white office. We've put some color in there and tried to. So we're going to use it as kind of a marketing outreach day for us. So as we take people around, we'll talk to them a little bit about the various programs that we have. So we'll combine it a little bit. So yeah, it should be a good day. I hope we have a good turnout. I hope we don't have a tremendous turnout. I'm a little worried about that. Well, you never know.
Well, I won't be early because I'm giving a garage sale this
weekend.
Okay. So I'll be there later.
Sounds good. The plan is to kind of have tables as you walk in, and so then people are just going to be able to tour. If you want to tour ADRC first, you can. If you want to tour social services first, if you want to go to the jail first, you can kind of pick where you want to go and then walk around. And we'll have some refreshments in the training room. I think they're going to be running, have they got that done? They're going to run some footage of the whole process of the building going up, so, which I can't even hardly remember. I just remember the big hole for a while. Back then it seemed like just a dream, but now it's...
Are they keeping this building here, or are they taking it down?
It's coming down. Yeah.
It was scheduled to be torn down in April, but Lori didn't want to move on. No, it's coming down.
They don't move, it'll come down around their ears.
Hopefully within a month or so after it's been... We have a lot of things to do out here.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in here that we'll have to figure out places, homes for yet too. So, and we're trying to weed out everything that's not great and not usable, but it's still, there's a lot of stuff. So, so little by little, I think we're making progress. I think we'll be ready, but it's just, you still got to serve people and you still got to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And so it's not quite as easy. You're just stopping everything and packing everything up. So, because you still have to, and I swear the phone rings more now than it, it's like, please. We'll be good. I think if you haven't been over there or you haven't been over there in a while, I think you'll be impressed. It looks really nice. We won't have all the signage up. But we've got one sign in our waiting room, which looks nice. So I'm very happy with it. I think it's a really nice office space. So
you better be.
I think it's very nice. I think consumers will like it really well. So. I haven't made any changes a whole lot in mine. So.
No other public comments or communications. Number 6, advocacy reports and activities. ADRC regional board meeting. You didn't make it here, Dale.
Nope.
See what I can do.
You're on.
Okay. They elected a new chair, which is Liam Wall. Whoop, something like that?
I don't know the last name either. In fact, I sent Danica.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the vice chair is Kathy Paul Skill.
Oh, okay. Remember that name?
Yes, I do.
Just trying to think what else I got here. I just had reports that they had. Budget reallocation update, gave an update on that. Marketing strategies. They had a discussion on the strategies, some suggestions or ideas on marketing. Bylaws, we didn't review those. We're going to review them at the next meeting that we have. Not everybody had read through them, so they said we'd review them at the next meeting. Then they just did the January, February expenses. There's board training for 2019. They talked about possible action, talked about the Aging Advocacy Day on May 14th. That's pretty much it for all. Next meeting's going to be May 21st at Town Bank. This time they're going to start at 9 o'clock instead of 9:30. So that's pretty much it for what they discussed and talked about.
And with the budget reallocation, that was for ADRC. They were looking at... there's never been a great formula for how they divvied money out to the ADRCs, but I think that will be put on hold for a while because Ann Olson... who was heading up the Office of Resource Development, which oversees ADRCs, is now leaving to go, I think, to Workforce Development as a budget person there. So they've lost, and then they also lost their fiscal person, so all kind of, and they've lost Marine, and they've lost a couple other ones, so their whole kind of management staff right now at ORCID is in disarray and vacant, so I'm quite sure the budget reallocation won't be happening at any given time soon, so until they get somebody new in there, so that could get a little interesting. The budget reallocation, if it was passed the way it was, would actually benefit us, however, the OAA funds are not going to benefit us. We are seeing a decline in some funding for OAA, and I will report on that probably next month because I haven't been able to reach GWAR to find out exactly. It's over a 3-year plan, and they won't take more than 5%. But what I don't know is if they won't take more than 5% per year, and John hasn't gotten back to me on that, so I'm waiting to find that out. So we will. I think it's not significant, but I think it's right now, I think there could be like a $12,000 in nutrition, which is fairly significant because we don't get a lot of money from OAA. So that could have some future issues to it. So, but I will get more information on that. I just got that within the last few weeks, and obviously I've been a little busy, so I'll find that out and move from there. It doesn't occur till next year, so we'll look at that.
Number 7, vehicle action, 2008 tax disposal.
Yes, I thought that I had done this, and I didn't. So we've got the 2008 taxi has been shot for a while now, but it kind of got housed out in the middle of a field, so I couldn't get rid of it. It's got 149,000 plus miles on it. The transmission's out, and it's got multiple other problems. So I think we need to get rid of it. My feeling was, I don't know if we can just scrap it or if we'll have to put it up for sale. That's really up to the state to decide because I think it's a 5310 vehicle. But we do need approval from you guys to dispose of it. We're clearly not going to use it, whether we sell it on auction or somebody'd have to stick a fair amount of money in it. It's in fairly rough shape, so we replaced it.
So we need a motion to
dispose.
Darrell made the motion. Arnold second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Yeah.
Opposed? Ayes have it. 2008 bus
is it's our largest bus. it originally was under Southwest Opportunity Center. They were actually the ones that wrote the grant. Back then we couldn't write the grants, and so it had to be a nonprofit, non-government, and so SOC would write these grants, and then we would lease from them. Well, then about 3 years ago, probably 2 to 3 years, they said, no, you have to write your own grants now. We're not going to do it this way. So then they gave the people that had written the grants and had, you know, leases, so that we had leases with, the opportunity to turn those buses back over to us, who actually was using them. So Audrey wanted to do that, and that was her call, and so we got the bus back in our name. Well, as it turns out, they've had many vehicle problems over there, and they've been using the bus right now. We've actually been leasing it to them a little bit because they've just had so many vehicle problems. Tim Carty, who is their kind of head of their buses and also does some driving for us, really, his drivers really like that bus. We very rarely use that bus because we just don't haul that many people in it. So they were interested in purchasing it outright. However, the state won't allow that without a public auction. Again, it has to be sold at bid out or in an auction. They can't buy it outright. So we did check into that. However, we do have the possibility of just leasing it to them for like a dollar or something and having them use it again. And they've already got liability insurance on it right now because that was part of the deal with the lease we had. So I guess we are not using the bus. We'd like to get away from those because that bus does require a CDL driver to drive it. While Kathy is one, we just don't have the opportunity to use it that much. However, if it stays with SOC, it's still our bus, so we could pull it back and if we ever needed to. So my feeling is if we can make it work for them, we should. The nice thing about it is while they put the miles and the numbers that they use, we still use that for our reporting purposes. We report those numbers. It's still using the bus for elderly and or disabled transportation because it's benefiting. It's still benefiting that. So any questions, any comments on that?
Does any action need to be taken?
I guess I would prefer it. I would prefer, you know, if you're in favor of going ahead with it.
Any discussion on it?
Does anybody have any thoughts about it? If you look at my next one, we are looking. We do have money in the vehicle trust fund, and we probably will be looking at purchasing a 14-passenger bus. The 14-passenger keeps us under the CDL, but gives us a little bit more room. So
is that one going to be handicapped?
Yeah. Tim's got a couple over there at SOC now that he's going to show me, and he said the 14 passengers have worked out real well because if you stay under 16 passengers, you're under, and the driver does count, so you're under the CDL. So, and we have to spend out the vehicle trust fund, so we literally have to buy a vehicle. It's one of those crazy things. So
the ADRC leases at the Southwest Opportunity Center, but they're responsible for all the upkeep and
yes.
all the insurance
yes.
and all that
yes.
stuff.
So yes.
Really no.
So there isn't, yeah. And that's literally what they did with us for years with this bus.
Okay.
We just leased it from them. And,
okay.
You know, unfortunately, in hindsight, she probably would have hung on to the bus if she would have realized that she
sure.
was going to have, but all our buses went down at one time. So.
Do you have a question, Lester?
No.
Oh.
So I would say we work really closely with
yeah.
SOC. They are great for, like, if we have a bus breakdown, Tim is really great about sending the bus out to help pick our passengers up. We've done the same for them. We've just always worked closely with them just to kind of, you know, help one another out. So I see no reason not to keep the bus on the road. I mean, it's silly to have it sitting over here. We're not going to use it, so... It just makes sense to me to continue to let them use it, but you know,
okay.
Well,
barring anything from the DOT that
right.
says otherwise.
Yeah. With that being said, I make the motion to keep the 08 bus with the lease agreement you have now with SOC. Sound right?
Yeah, we may have to. I'm not sure that we can because we're charging them a little more, and I'm not sure with the DOT we may have to just like. It may have to not be a $25 a day. It may have to be just kind of a dollar.
Right. Yeah.
So I need to look into that. So, because they're a little fussy about some of that. But
well, yeah, that's just like what you said about you have to sell it at auction. I suppose that's so they get some money out of it, too.
Yeah,
with the,
yeah. It all goes
yeah.
back to it's a...
Yeah,
federal, you know,
sure.
a state-owned vehicle. So if you would revise that to say whatever, we'll lease it to them with whatever is...
Whatever the
approved by the DOT.
State approved, yeah. Recommends or whatever, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that
so
would be
with
great.
That revision, Dale made the recommendation and motion. Lester seconded it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank
aye,
you.
Aye, seven. Purchase of the 14 passenger bus out of the vehicle trust fund.
So we have a lot of money sitting in the vehicle trust fund right now, and they're going to be revising that vehicle trust fund. John Swisler from DOT has told me that they're looking at revising that policy this year, probably will go into effect next year to get those funds spent down. So the plan is to purchase probably a 14-passenger bus out of that vehicle trust fund, and that will be coming up before too long. The other plan is if at some point, and we'll have to pull the trigger on this or decide otherwise, but if at some point there was talk of a vehicle storage shed or something like that, we could use money out of the vehicle trust fund for a proportion or for a portion of that as well. So that was our thinking on that. We were able, in just our transportation offices for furniture, to take some of that money out of the vehicle trust fund for the furniture over at the new building, too. They allowed us to do that. So
Where do the monies come from?
For the vehicle trust fund? So what happens is they have a formula that decides how much money they're going to give you. So we get about $121,000. From DOT, and they let you, if you don't spend all that in a given year, they let you put that in a trust fund for future vehicles and things like that.
Gotcha.
And with our loss of Randy the last few years, we just haven't had, we've had gaps where we haven't had drivers, so we've saved on wages.
Sure.
So we've just accumulated some money in there. That's kind of they use that as so people can kind of build up money for vehicles and keep. The DOT really wants you to.
They are designated funds. Too.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. Yeah. There's only certain uses for them. But I did check about if this shed thing would go through, that would be you can use it for that. And like I said, with the furniture. That kind of surprised me. I didn't realize that we could do that. And in talking with John, he said we could. So we were able to take some of those funds out of there. So that was nice. But we do need to get it spent down. So if a shed or whatever is not in the works, we'll probably have to look at how else we're going to do that. We might have to purchase another vehicle or something like that and replace another bus. So, and once we replace one, we will sell one too. So that's how that works. So if you want to make a motion on that, if you're okay with that, I don't know that we have to, but I would just assume.
Okay. And how would
show
the motion?
Board. Just to purchase a 14
just
bus
to purchase.
Out of the vehicle trust. Okay.
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And we will do that when the 5310 grant comes up, which is where people get the vehicles. We have the ability, even though we're paying for it, we'll have the ability to just get the vehicle through the 5310. So it meets all the state requirements and everything through that. But that will be coming up sooner than later. So.
Number 8, food contract amendments.
This was the year typically that we would put out bids for. The food vendors. However, with the building move, we talked to all the vendors about, we did have the option in the contract of extending out a year. And we had met, Ruth and I met, probably a month ago. Mm-hmm. We met with Nutrition Services. I don't remember their exact name. Do you? Summit? Maybe? From the jail, they came out and met with us because they have actually done some meals for various counties, Meals on Wheels, not jail food, but some other ones. So we had possibly talked about contracting them with some frozen meals and some others. So we felt that it was better this year to maybe just extend the contract a year with all of these, since we're kind of in a big disruption, and do that versus, and then kind of seeing how this Nutrition Services plays out in the future. Because if we can use them for some things and even do some frozen meals out of there, or do some of our, you know, portion of our meals out of there. It would really, it would be nice. And they've got a state-of-the-art kitchen. And they do that in other, they've done that in other counties as well. So we'd look into it a little bit more, but we thought it maybe would bear looking into a little bit further. So we did just extend the contracts. They, of course, have increased because, you know, every year they increase. So Grant Regional is providing meals at a cost of $5.15 for the Fenimore and Lancaster sites, including milk and delivery of bulk food, and $4.94 for the Bagley meal site, which includes milk. Cassville's at a cost of $4.40 per meal for the Cassville meal site, and a daily delivery of $2.25 for the delivery of the bulk food. None of these costs are extreme increases, and I apologize. If you want the old ones, I will run down and get them from Ruth. I did not bring them. I thought I did. UW's has gone up fairly considerably, I think, at a cost of $6.30 for Platteville, Cuba City, Montfort, and Dickeyville. But I think it was at $5 or $5.80. Do you remember
$5.85?
I think.
Yeah.
So that one had. But the thing is if they bid them out, those were going to be the same prices most likely anyway. And like I said, I think it bears seeing what maybe these nutrition services can do for us, and maybe we can get, you know, if it's cooked right on site and it goes right out of our facility, it, there would be a lot of advantages to that. So we'll see. So any issues with that? Are you okay with that? Do you want to approve those amendments to the...
I was going to say, since it's already in the contract, you need a motion to approve them?
I don't know that we do, but there again, it just doesn't hurt to make one.
Have someone make a motion to
approve it? I'll make a motion that we approve it.
Arnold will make a motion to approve. Second?
I'll second.
Pam seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Yeah, I did have Ben just double check it just to make sure that it was kosher, and he said it was, so...
Number 9, approval of vouchers. Everybody had an opportunity to look at vouchers. Is there any questions?
Such an enjoyable read, isn't it? Kind of makes me, makes my eyes go crazy. Yeah. Any questions, any concerns that you see? I don't think there's anything other than maybe a couple expenses for the new building that we have incurred just with some things, but I don't think there's anything too unusual. Can you think of anything?
Well, some of the space contracts.
Oh, sure. Some of the meal site space contracts are getting paid out, so those kind of trickle in all year long.
Yeah.
When we send them out.
Are there any questions in regards to the vouchers?
We are getting, just for the future that you'll see, we are ordering some bulletin boards over. We did not purchase any of the bulletin boards through the EBI over here, so we are getting some of those just through Amazon because they were like 3 times less than EBI. So you will see some of those come out, but those will, we budgeted quite a bit in ADRC for some of those expenses, so you will see some of that in the future. I don't think it's probably on here yet because that bill hasn't come, but just so you know. But we did have quite a bit in the ADRC budget for some of those that we thought we might have.
No further questions. Have a motion to approve the vouchers.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Carolyn made a motion.
I'll second.
Jordan second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Say. Financial reports. Anybody have an opportunity to review those?
Well, I probably should have brought this up before. So if there's a zero amount budgeted, why is the line item still in?
Which one?
In the revenue versus budget by department. So if there's zero budgeted...
Occasionally we'll get something that falls in, like an unexpected expense that might fall into something. Can you tell me where you're...
Well, page one of the revenue versus budget by department. Like down the site service management, there's zero budget in those areas, and so I was just wondering...
Oh, sure.
Why and the line item is still there?
That would really be a good question for Nancy. Probably because at some point we probably had some revenue that was coming in those line items, and we haven't in the last few years, or we dumped it into there. So sometimes we're not very good at cleaning up our reports is mostly likely the answer for that.
Everybody used it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sometimes that's just a matter of, I think...
Just the timing to purge the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think sometimes Courtney and I just probably get used to looking at that and don't think anything of it. It just looks normal to us. So that's a good point. We could actually take those off. There really isn't any sense in having that there because I honestly don't know what miscellaneous revenue we would get that would be under service management. So
on page two,
yes.
The DOT vehicle trust.
Yes.
So there's no.
It shows nothing in there. And I don't know why she doesn't put that in there, but Nancy does keep that fund. We have to report that to the DOT. I would have to ask her why she doesn't. She doesn't ever report the trust funds usually on the, because it's not, I guess maybe it's not revenue is maybe why she does not. It is technically DOT funds until they release them to us.
Okay.
So I think that's probably why she doesn't report it that way. However, she does have to keep that fund balance. So that's a very good question, Carolyn. Any other ones? If you, one of them that might look, the Dodgeville taxi shows some revenue and city counts on there. And part of that is we were going to take that off, but until they got their new taxi, Dodgeville was using our taxi, so we did actually have some revenue in that. So once that's taken care of, that will go away. But Nancy actually did end up leaving that in there because we did have some money coming in there. So we don't have any expenses, obviously. But
any other questions anybody has in regards?
Oh, we do. We did have expenses on that. We had insurance expenses, so I just want to make sure I didn't say that right. I knew as soon as I said that wasn't right.
Oh,
so
okay.
Dodgeville, we kept the insurance on that van, but then that will all be done. That will go to Specialized. So
there's no other questions. I have a motion to approve the financial report.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Ann makes the motion. Second?
I'll second.
Adam seconds. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it. Reports, EDRC, director's report.
Well, apparently I have one. I just came in and said to Pam, I don't even have a written director's report. And then I looked through my packet and I said, oh, my God, I do. I'm not sure when I did this report, but apparently I did one.
Can we back up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. I got a question on the vote for you.
Sure.
You got almost a $900 bill from Pink's for brake pads and rotors. Did you get the old ones back?
I do. Don't think so.
I would request that.
Okay.
We had the same deal at Orchard Manor a couple of months
ago.
And the mileage that was on them, the old ones, it was ridiculous.
Okay.
Somebody would have to be riding the brake 100% of the time.
Okay. Do you remember what vehicle that was on?
Specialized
van.
Yeah.
Okay. On our Specialized. I will double check that and see what the mileage was. Ruth and Mariah are pretty good at checking to see how many miles have been on that because we do keep those records. But yeah, I'll double check that.
And I've heard a couple of other horror stories about them, so that's why I question it.
We will.
What kind of horror stories?
The idea that they shouldn't have been needed and they don't get the old ones back.
To see how much wear is on
exactly.
That they might have replaced them when they didn't need to be replaced.
Yep, exactly.
That's a high price, ain't it?
Well, that's
yeah. I was gonna say that's a lot of money.
I mean, van that wouldn't be any different than a car or a pickup.
Yeah, it cost me $400.
I think there was probably more than that.
Replace the front brakes on my pickup.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that might
I think.
Oh,
yeah, and
never
I think
you have to replace the rear ones the same time you replace the front one.
Yes, no. I do know that. And there could have been more on there. That's what she can fit into her little thing on
well,
Springbrook. So,
yeah, I might just turn it out that way. That's possible.
So, director's report. If you came in through the front door, you met Sheila, our new part-time office assistant. She's doing a great job. So we have been working with her on some data entry, and she's picked up the phone really, really fast. So now she gets to learn a whole new one, which is really nice after you've been here for a month. But no, she's doing a great job. And she brought us chocolate chip cookies, so we're really happy with her now. She sealed the deal now. No, she's doing a great job. She's picking up, getting our data entry completed and everything else. So, again, we are, you know, pretty much just working on open house, moving, getting everything. I'm not sure what we're going to do when we don't have building meetings to attend. Bob, I will, like, have hours in the day.
Don't worry, they'll go on for a while.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know what my old job was like before this building became my life. But we've still got a lot to do over there. We've got keys and signage, and because we're coordinating with the Sheriff's Department and Social Services, there's lots of meeting on that, maintenance and all of that. So everything is going well. I think we're moving ahead. But it takes a lot of time to get it all done. So again, we had the volunteer banquet. Thank you to Joanne and Arnold and Dave for attending. We had a great turnout. I think we had, almost 100 people?
Yeah.
Had a great meal. It was really nice. It was a nice day.
It was nice hearing some of the volunteers talk about their experience.
Yeah. We have such great volunteers. I wish they would talk about that a little more. A lot of them are kind of shy, about doing that. But they do such a great job. And when you talk with them individually, they just have such great stories of, you know, the people that, again, that they're doing this for. And again, as I told them the night of that banquet, you know, 1 in 5 of our home delivered people, that is the only person they see during the day. So that's just bright spot in their day. So and again, I mean, some of those people wouldn't get a meal if they weren't delivered. So we attended the Senior Expo in Belmont. I actually went over for that. I'd never been to it, so I went over to see that. It was actually a really nice morning. I was very impressed, and I stole a few ideas from there that we might use for Elderfest. So I thought it went really, really well. I talked about meeting with the nutrition services over there, so we will continue to look at that. Christian Bremer, who is our disability benefits specialist, was at the transition event for youth in Fenimore. They do one with high school students that might be transitioning out of high school into other opportunities or adult services. It's called Opportunity Knocks, and it gives them they do some mock interviews. They do a fashion show for how you should show up for an interview, and they have some resource tables around, and she hosted a resource table for us. So
I actually was helped out at one of those.
I
think 2 years ago.
Great.
And I pretend I was interviewing someone, and I didn't, when I was approached to do that, I thought it was for the high school, for kids that had special needs. So when these kids came in, and it was probably really good that I didn't know that. And it was like, wow, I was really impressed with how well they were taught to interview and what to say. So it was
good.
It was really a
That's
unique
great.
Experience.
That's
yeah.
great. That's great. Yeah. I think it's a nice day for them. It
yes.
really is. So yeah. We finished up AARP taxes. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. It's always a... It got a little crazy out here with the parking situation. So, and then again, we met with meal site managers. We have to do a lot of training with them, and we're trying to format things with them a little bit, making sure that we've had some. It's hard when you have like 10 different outlying sites and communication sometimes doesn't always go the way it should. So we're kind of working on that a little bit, doing a communication plan and things like that. And then we had nutrition advisory committee as well. That was mostly April. May has pretty much been trying to figure out a plan for moving, having a plan for moving, preparing for moving, and moving. So we do have some things already over there. We've got most of our long closet is over there right now. We've got some chairs that moved over there. Our outreach materials are over there. Today we're moving some nutrition storage and more chairs. The shelving that we were going to take over there, unfortunately, when we got it down, we found out it had mold on it. So that's not going to go. So we're going to have to call the lumber yard and get some new boards cut for that, because I really don't want to take old moldy boards into the new facility. Otherwise, I think it's coming along pretty well, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all in all, we've been doing a lot of cases as well. And I apologize, your INA report has not been updated because Lori didn't do it. So I will have those numbers to you. But we've been averaging probably more than 460 contacts. We average pretty close to about 500 encounter contacts for INA every month. And we are down to 2 INA right now because Nicole is still on maternity leave. She will be back in June. But then we will turn around and have Stephanie on maternity leave in what, August? So we will still be shorthanded a little bit. But they have been troopers in really trying to cover while Nicole is off. So, it's been incredibly busy. But staff have been great. Courtney, I kept her over there late yesterday. She was helping me at the new offices. So everybody's been pitching in and helping out. So any questions on anything? We'll get a little bit better. I promise you I will have better numbers for you on INA. But I actually realized I didn't even, like I said, I didn't even know I did the director's report. That's how crazy my life has been. It's been a little nuts.
Did you mention, I don't know when it was, but it was you or I heard it someplace, that our legislators or there was something in the wind about the taxes for the trips drivers?
Oh, that has been proposed, I think. I don't know. I have to look into that and see if that. There was something proposed at one time to increase that.
Yeah, I was thinking, you said, or
increase that so that they could claim. Yeah, because right now it's only, what, 14 cents or something that you can
make much
for
what it amounts to, yeah.
I think that has been proposed. I will go back and look at that, but I think that was in some of the transportation.
That would be a pretty good plus for them drivers.
Yeah. Yeah, right now our drivers, I mean, they have to file taxes on everything they make over that 14 cents. So.
And I thought about that when I seen them on the expense sheet.
Yeah. And while we didn't make that, there's a good point right there you're making too. While we didn't, I just obviously Aging Advocacy Day this week. I couldn't quite make that. Do you know if we're having Howard and Travis come to the open house?
They were both invited. Howard said he was coming. Travis, I think it depends on farming.
Okay. My thought was if we had him there, we would touch base. And then my thought too was once we're in the new building, we may ask them to come over and see a meeting and tour the facility. So I think we'll touch base with them in the future. Carolyn, just to back up, did you meet with Travis?
We did. Well, actually, when we were up at the disability, yes, we met with Travis and Mark Feinbold.
Okay.
And then...
I was going to say, didn't you set up a future meeting?
We did set up a meeting, and they both came to Platteville and met with a bunch of parents who needed, in need of housing. And when they came into the meeting, they expected to see about two or three people. We had the room full.
Really? Really?
So they said, oh, I see there is a need.
Ah!
Yes, there is a need. So
good for you guys. That's really great.
We met with some of the parents that are starting up the building in New Glarus yesterday. We went up there and...
I'm not familiar with that. So that is a housing unit
yes.
for...
Yes. Some of the units are going to be designated for individuals with disabilities.
Okay.
And they're on a 6-acre land. It hasn't started. They have to come up with $300,000 by August as a parent group. So they have to figure out
how to raise that. Yeah.
But we met with them, and they're willing to work with us in getting something started in Platteville. Then the moms that went with me yesterday, we just feel that there's a lot of buildings in Platteville already that we don't have to build a new facility. We're trying to kind of try to utilize maybe what's already there.
Sure.
And make it work. So,
what's the new big apartment? Is that aimed
that's
at?
That's that Ruxton.
And is that aimed at?
There's some apartments that are aimed for individuals with disabilities.
Okay.
But they do have a caretaker on site that will be living there. But nothing that will work for our situation. And plus it's on a busy street.
It is on a very busy street.
And the worst place possible because, for instance, my son, he'll just dart out into the street and not even look.
Yeah.
So that's the worst place you could build a building. Anyway. So that will work for some individuals, and that's great.
Sure.
But just not for our population.
Right, right.
So we've decided that we're going to meet weekly just to get things started and get a mission statement together and a proposal. And then we have to apply for tax credits and it's going to be a process.
Yes.
But
good for you guys. That would be good. That's great. So maybe at some point you want to do... when you get a little more into
do
a presentation
and
for us on that.
But the moms that we met with, they're both lawyers. So that helped them a great deal.
Sure.
But they, their goal is, it's taken them 6 years to do this, but maybe they can help other communities do the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe not to that scale,
but
it's a $8.2 billion million-dollar facility that they're trying to build, and it's a lot of money they have to come up with.
It's a lot.
Yeah. A lot of grants they have to write.
And it's so
nobody
is
on our committee knows how to write grants.
Is it similar to kind of assisted apartments that they're still have a fair amount of assistance attached to?
Okay. See, we don't feel as parents, and I don't know what the elderly population feels, but we're no different than individuals in a nursing home facility who require 24/7. And so we've been hearing that some of the nursing homes aren't full, and so we're going to talk to ManorCare, see if there's a way that we could, utilize some of that space. We don't want to have to recreate another building.
Sure.
There's so many apartment buildings going up in Platteville. It's just crazy. But if we can find something that will work.
Interesting.
So we're getting started on it. Mm-hmm. But Mark Klein and Travis Tranel didn't have a clue. So it was good to get them
Well, that
there.
Was good that you made them aware, and it was good that you had a packed room because that made an impact on them, too.
Yes.
So.
And a lot of parents that wanted to come just couldn't. So they said, wow, we expected maybe one or two people here.
So we'll make sure because Carolyn is our, she is representing that
population.
Just that population. That are disabled, so we'll make sure if we do have them come that we have you address that as well.
Yes.
There is a definite need. People need to be able to live independently, but still have that assistance that they need.
Well, and I'm not going to live forever, so I have to figure out something for my son and all those other individuals. And I know there's facilities in the country, but then they're isolated. Yeah. And because there's lack of transport. So
Yeah.
We have to come up with a mission.
And there are a lot of nursing homes in Grant County.
I don't know how you get involved in something like that, but we're going to try and get a hold of somebody at Manicare.
I think it's worth looking into.
Anyway, that's where
that's
we
great.
Are.
Well, thank you for doing that. That's sure. That's really great. And please keep us informed as we do those advocacy reports. That would be a good place for you to to let us know about that. Because I think that is a population we serve. Yeah. So that would be
so
great.
We're getting started. There were four moms that went yesterday, and there was another one that wanted to go. There are five of us. They said they would come to Platteville, but they're going to start charging consulting fees.
Oh, sure.
You know.
Sure. They're attorneys.
Yeah. Moms first, but attorneys second. they said that this is good, that we're trying to do something and help in any way they can for a fee. But she said what you need to do is charge each parent per meeting like $10 to cover expenses, because it always falls on one person or two people
sure.
to pay for safety coverage.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah.
So that would at least spread it around a little bit. But
it's just a work in progress, and we're just getting started. So we'll see how this goes.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I'm glad you had a great turnout. Like I said, that alone.
Well, yeah, they were quite impressed.
That alone brings the issue to the forefront, which is really good.
They just had no idea. Where have people been?
Well, it's because parents just often care for, and like you said, you're not going to live forever.
Yeah.
And we see people that happens to, and then they're in crisis because all of a sudden, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with Johnny? Because mom and dad are gone. Yeah.
And we've been told every time we approach somebody, well, there's no money in it. Well, they pay rent. I mean, it's not like they're going to do it for free. They have to pay rent. Yeah. And so, anyway, that's what we're doing.
Good. That is great. That's great. All right.
Anything else that anybody has?
The only thing I have is, do we want to do the next meeting in June? We do have to do a closed session for my evaluation. It's due in June, but honestly, I don't care if it's June or July. It doesn't matter to me. So it's up to you whether you want to.
Well, if we wait till July, you at least have one more month for a job.
If I get this move, I might be done next week.
Either that or stay here.
I think I've already said that twice today, that I might be done next week. So... So, no, it's entirely up to you. I didn't want to just assume that June was fine with everybody because we have been operating on it every other month. So,
any other discussion on it?
We need to make sure we have a quorum, I guess, if we were going to do it.
What does everybody think? June and July?
Oh, if something needs to be done, why it needs to be done.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that it would be a problem. I think it might be a good idea that in case there's other issues that come up because of the move. Why wait until July? We should have it in June and be done.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that work for everybody?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So the next meeting would be June 19th, 9 o'clock.
Did I get the date right?
In the new building.
In the new building.
Anything else that anybody has want to bring up, talk about, discuss? If not, have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Don't move.
Foster moves.
I'll second.
Erwin seconds. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Close.
Thank you.